Hosea chapter number 4. Just a little history while you're turning so that you kind of get your thought here. Hosea is writing to the kingdom of Israel, the upper northern kingdom. Now, if you remember when Solomon had sinned, God told him he was going to split the kingdom, the 12 tribes. 10 of them went to the northern kingdom, which was Israel, referred to as Israel. And then 2 of them went down to the southern one, which was Judah and Benjamin. And it was called Judah. And so from that point on, and of course, Rehoboam was king, which was Solomon's son, was king of the southern kingdom. And Rehoboam was king of the northern kingdom, which was the 10 tribes. Now, if you know the history of that, and I'm sharing it with you because there's a point I want to bring. Rehoboam had some jealousy about the 10 tribes going down to worship down into Jerusalem at the temple. And so he tried to go ahead and devise and establish a couple places they could worship in the northern part and northern kingdom without having to go down to the southern kingdom for fear that they might want to join up with Rehoboam's group. And of course, that was the first time idolatry was introduced. And Dan, they set up a golden calf in Dan. Later on, God told them that the first one to introduce adultery, their name would be taken out. And if you ever notice over in the book of Revelation, chapter 7, talking about the 144,000, the 12 tribes, Dan's name has been omitted. And 2 of Joseph's sons have been there in replacement of Dan's name. And God meant business when he told them that. But what happened was when they tried to establish their own way of worshiping God, God had done gave them the law. He done gave them commandments of how he wanted to worship. He done established the temple, and he established ways in which they could approach God. Now, while you're in Hosea chapter 2, look if you would in verse number 6. First of all, look in verse number 1. Chapter 4, I'm sorry, if I said 2, I meant 4. It says, "Hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel. For the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no what? No truth." Where does truth come from? Truth comes from the word of God. When you have the real word of God, you don't have to worry about having truth. That's the only source of real truth that we have. And so the Bible says that they had no truth. Now you got to remember, they were trying to substitute ways of worshiping God than rather go down to Jerusalem and do it through the temple. And so they thought that they could somehow make a way that would please God. But God said, "You got no truth." Not only that, he says, "Nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land." Look on, if you would, in verse number 6. He said, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, because thou hast rejected knowledge." Now note this, it's not because they did not have the ability to get knowledge, they rejected knowledge. They didn't want it. There's 2 ways of rejecting knowledge. You can reject the means of knowledge by the materials and the means of which we can gain knowledge. You can reject it. In other words, a lot of people reject the Bible. And when they reject the Bible, they reject the ability to have knowledge of God. Because the Bible is the word of God, it brings forth us knowledge that we can know God and who he was and what Christ was and those things. They reject the Bible. Some people tries to parse the Bible out and tries to pick little bits and pieces they want to receive and reject the other. But the Bible says that it is truth. Thy word is truth. And the truth shall set you free. I believe the entire Bible, and God has preserved his entire Bible for us as truth. And so therefore, it's important that we understand knowledge. Sometimes we can reject knowledge by rejecting to follow the instructions of what God has given us in knowledge. Now notice again in verse 6. He says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me. Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children." So again, they were rejecting to follow the commands of God, the law of God. They knew they wanted to create their own priest. They had to create priests out of the sons of Aaron. God had done laid that out, but they decided they would have their own. He said, "You need to understand something. I'm not going to accept it. You can't worship me in making your own rules up." And if you look, keep your finger there a moment, go back to Isaiah chapter 5. Not only is the northern kingdom suffer because of lack of knowledge, but notice in Isaiah chapter 5. Now Isaiah is writing to the southern kingdom, Judah. Notice what he said. Now remember, Judah had to go into captivity in Babylon, but notice what he says there in verse 13. He says, "Therefore my people are gone into captivity because they have what? No knowledge. And their honorable men are famished, and the multitude dried up with thirst." So not only did Israel lack knowledge, so did Judah lack knowledge. They were not listening to God. Now, let me say this. Growing up, I was made after a while, when mom and dad got his heart right, we were made to attend church. Three times a week we attended church. If we had revival, every night of the revival we came. There was always a cure around the house. If you were too sick to go to church, castor oil, Epsom salts. That was a miracle worker. Because when they mentioned those two combination, I immediately got better and went on to church. And so anyway, I went to church sometimes as a child. I went to church against my will, but I didn't have a choice. I'm so glad now I didn't have a choice. I cannot tell you how much I retain knowledge of listening to teaching and preaching, watching preachers come through by, our lives, listening to them and watching them and being changed, seeing people and growing and having Sunday school teachers that taught the Word of God. The knowledge that I attained brought me to salvation of my soul. Through the scriptures that I learned, I became to the point where I was saved. Then not only that, I began to gain knowledge and understanding of the Bible. Later on in life, I got searching for answers, and I began to dig and study the Bible for myself. I had questions about certain things, and I didn't want someone just tell me. I wanted to know what the Bible taught on those things. And I began to dig, and there would be times when I would start in the Bible, and Chris would go to bed and she'd get up next morning. I'd still be right in the midst of a study because I get so intense on wanting to find out a truth. We came another generation. This generation that we're dealing with today has changed. You young people, listen to me just a moment. I hardly see you outside of the scope, and sad, but some people brings it into the church, and you should never. You should need to bring Bibles, open up Bibles, and be able to follow in the Bible. Not be on there with games, communicating, carrying on with your phones. There has been great knowledge achieved in your generation. I could go on to several different things that has happened, but one of the most amazing things is the phone that you hold. But it gives you all these resources, all these resources around the world. You can communicate around the world, but there can be a lot of things bad that comes into that. I rarely see you away from here that I don't see you with a phone stuck in your face. Some of the grown-ups are as bad as the children. This is what I fear. Please listen. There's a lack of knowledge because people are not getting into the Word of God. I talk to people about simple things of the Bible. And some people that's been in church for years, they seem to be completely ignorant about things of the Bible. That's the way these people, now notice here, in both places, the southern and northern kingdom both, God referred to them as my people. But they suffered and it caused them a lot of pain because they lacked knowledge. And I would encourage each of you to come, and I encourage young people, and I appreciate our young people here. I'd encourage the young people as well to learn to come and sit and bring you a Bible. Bring your pencil, take notes, grow. You'd be amazed how much that helps you. And listen, if you lack knowledge in your generation, if Jesus holds back his coming, it always affects your next generation much more drastically because of your lack of knowledge. And soon what you will find is your children and your grandchildren will be taken captive to things of the world, and their lives and souls will be destroyed because they lack knowledge. And it wasn't because we didn't have the knowledge available, it's because we rejected the knowledge and we chose not to receive it when it was available. So look in your Bibles just a moment, and I'd like to share with you a couple of thoughts about this. Now, it's important to remember, if you flipped over a couple pages from Hosea backwards toward Genesis, you'll find the next book is Daniel. Daniel chapter 12 and verse number 4 makes an astounding prophecy. There would be two things, Daniel pointed out, that would mark the latter days of the last times. We would be running to and fro. If I could say anything about the virus, and a positive effect, it has slowed us down. Every time I turned around, I heard parents say this, we run so much and we have so many commitments and obligations, we don't ever get the chance to sit and just communicate with our children. When's the last time you sat and you talked to your children? When's the last time that you ever shared things in the Bible? Some of my most enjoyable times with my mom was when I would go stay with her and I'd get up early in the morning. Me and her would be usually the first ones to rise up. And I'd go down there and she would have her Bible open and we'd sit and we'd talk. And we'd share thoughts. That was such a blessed thought. But the Bible says in the latter days that people would be running to and fro. And did you notice what the second prophecy was there in verse 4 of chapter 12? Knowledge shall be increased. But Paul wrote over in 1 Timothy, or 2 Timothy rather, chapter 3, in verse number 7, that he said knowledge would be increased. He said, yeah, they'll be ever learning, but never coming to the knowledge of the truth. And just because you know how to maneuver around the world web doesn't mean that you have knowledge of truth. Truth only comes from the Word of God. Now, knowledge, there can be a negative about knowledge. It can puff people up. I've seen some people who thought they knew a little bit more than everybody else, and it puffed them up. But real knowledge of the Bible can bring you great peace and it can bring you security in life. This evening, I wrote some things down I want to share with you. There are some things I'm glad that I have known from the Bible. First of all, I'm glad I can know the will of God for me in my life. You say, what's the will of God? Every child of God, Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, tells you that his will for you is that you present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. In other words, he has a will for you. Every person that is created has been created for the purpose of glorifying God. And so he wants in your life, he wants you to do things in your life to glorify him. And people says, well, I'm struggling around wanting to know what God's will is in my life. Well, I'm glad that we can know the will of God. Now, there'll be some things that we've been teaching on Wednesday night that the Holy Spirit will witness with your spirit, and you will hear God, you will understand God, yet it will not be an audible word. It will not be an audible word, but God will talk to you about the will in your life. I used the other night the illustration when he called me to preach. No one else could have heard anything that was said to me, but his spirit witnessed with my spirit what God wanted me to do. And I know beyond a shadow of doubt what that was. Now, it's good to know your purpose in life. There are people wandering around in this world won't know why they're here. But isn't it wonderful to know where you came from? I'm glad I know I came from the creation of God. I don't say it and I don't get all confused about, was my ancestors in a tree? Did I come from some blob? Did I come from some explosion? I know where I came from. I know why I'm here. I know where I'm going. And I'm so glad, and listen, what peace that brings in my life that I have some knowledge of those three things. It's amazing how many people does not know where they came from, why they're here, and they don't know where they're going. It's great peace to have that understanding. And listen, if you master those three things in your life, everything else will fall in place. Second of all, I thought about this. When I look around the world today and I see evil men waxing worse and worse, I see spiritual wickedness abounding. If I didn't have knowledge of the Word of God, I would probably question, where's God? Why is God letting some of these things happen? The wickedness that's happening upon children. Why is God allowing men and women to prey upon innocent children? Why would God permit this to happen? Why would God? Then I get into the Word of God. And I see the big picture. And I understand God allows certain things to take place, but yet he does not neglect, nor does he forget what's going on. Even though he's slow, Ecclesiastes tells us, slow to execute judgment, his judgment will come for sure. Nothing goes underneath the watchful eye of God. And so therefore, whenever I see spiritual decline, I get in the Bible and it tells me that the closer we get to the coming of Jesus, the more the spiritual decline we're going to see. So therefore, I'm not taken by surprise. When I pick up the papers, when I look around, I'm not shocked. Because God told us it would be so, and therefore we need to obtain that knowledge where it doesn't take and it doesn't throw us off course in our walk with God. Not only that, but also the scriptures. Jesus said, you do not know the scriptures, therefore you err because you do not understand scriptures. The Bible teaches us that there will be a lot of people that will not understand. They don't understand what the Bible says about regeneration. It's amazing how many people are still going back there and trying Nimrod's way of working your way to heaven. Trying Cain's way of pleasing God with the works of your own hands. Get in the book. It tells you simply, every one of us, ye must be born again, and except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Not only do we need to understand regeneration, we only do that from knowledge in the Word of God, we also need to understand repentance. God's not willing any should perish, but all should come to repentance. Therefore, we need to understand that repentance is required of God. There was a time when man's ignorance God winked at, but now God commandeth all men everywhere to repent. I've had people tell me, well, preacher, I just don't think I have anything to repent of. You have your ignorance in the Word of God. Because the Bible tells us we're all sinners and we all need to repent. Not only that, but we also need to understand righteousness. God's not pleased with our self-righteousness. He's pleased with the righteousness that's imputed to us by Christ Jesus. We're justified by His righteousness, not our own. We owe everything we owe to Jesus. Therefore, I understand. When I preach messages like this morning, eternal life, I have no doubt about eternal salvation. You know why I know it? Because it's not me that I have the confidence in. It's what Jesus is and does and has done and is doing that I have full confidence in. I'm saved because He saved me. I'm justified by His blood. And therefore, I believe upon His finished work. And my faith is by God's grace through my faith that it saved my soul, not through my own works. So therefore, I understand that. I also understand retribution of God. People think that God, a lot of people wants to just preach this God of love. But they're completely ignorant to what the Word of God says, that God's wrath is going to abide upon everyone that does not have the Son. People may not mention hell. I'll never forget when, before I started pastoring, I went around and I filled in a lot of churches. There was a church here in Pulaski County I went to, a Baptist church. I went, and I'll never forget, I preached on hell that morning, and this woman come out, she's an elderly lady, and I've shared this with you before. She shook my hand, she said, preacher, first time in 9 years hell's ever been mentioned in this church. Folks, hell doesn't go away because we don't talk about it. And people say, well, God's just a God of love, and there's no way he would allow any sinner to be cast in the lake of fire and they're tormented day in and day out. You better get in Thessalonians and read what he says there. He says it's everlasting punishment. You better understand, you don't get to hell by yourself. God casts you there. He puts you there. You say, why? Because of your rejection of His Son. You better get in the book. And you better find out what he's talking about. You don't want to wait until judgment day and stand before God and be standing there. The Bible says, in that day, the day of judgment, many shall say unto me, Lord, Lord, we not prophesy in thy name, we not cast out devils and do many wonderful works. He'll say, depart from me, ye work of iniquity. I never knew you. You better get in the book and find out what he says. Some people are going through here. They've got all kinds of zeal. They run around. They knock on doors much more than we do. And they do all kinds of things, but they think they're working their way into heaven. They better get in a book and find out it's not by works of righteousness that we're saved, but it's because of Jesus. We also need to learn about the return of the Lord. When we look at these, you know, I was thinking when all this hit, we were out of church. I was thinking, what if the Lord comes back? What if he has caused this pause and all of a sudden there's going to be a shout and a trump? We're going to be gone. Are you ready? You believe Jesus is coming again? I believe it's the next thing on the calendar. You know why? That's what the book says. Not only that, but also rewards. God's not discriminatory about salvation, nor is he. The Bible says that God is no respecter of persons 38 times. All 38's in reference to three things: salvation, Rewards for your works, punishment for your works. God doesn't discriminate against any of those three things. Then also the future. The Bible tells us that as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming Son of Man. How was it in the days of Noah? There was great ignorance pertaining to God. You know the only thing that this political correct world hates right now? Truth. There is great ignorance. You turn on talk shows, there's ignorance to the Word of God. And everywhere you turn, people doesn't want truth. But it's only by truth that it'll set you free. People says, let's find other things to do in our church besides preach. The book says it's by the foolishness of preaching that it pleases God to save those which believe. And what we've done is we tried to find other ways to entertain. Folks, we better get in the book and get some knowledge of what God wants out of us. He still yet calls preachers. And he still yet uses the preaching of the Word of God. The foolishness of preaching to save those which believe. I'm glad that I understand we're going to be living in a time of ignorance. Also, in the days of Noah, will be a time of indulgence. Eating and drinking. I thought this during this time. The governor said, well, some people asked me why I made liquor stores essential. He said, I don't want you to get, he said, I don't want you to get, I forget the word he said, but I don't want you to get too, I want to be able, that you're able to maintain your emotions or something. I can't remember the word he used exactly. I thought, you know, that's exactly what coming to church does for me. It keeps me calm, relaxed. It gives me knowledge so I can understand what's going on. And so therefore, we know that we're going to be living in a time of indulgence. Knowing that, immorality in the days of Noah. Knowing that, indecision in the days of Noah. We see it all. Something else that I'm glad I know is this. I know the sound of the shepherd's voice. The Bible says that the sheep knows his voice. I'm glad when I hear his voice, I know who he's talking. I know, and therefore he says we hear him and we follow him, we know him. I also know because of knowledge in the Word of God that there's going to be times that God's going to send visitations upon the earth with plagues, hurricanes, tornadoes, floods, and we're going to see those things increase. Some of you that's been around for a few years, have you seen in the last generation the increase of all those things? I mean, it's daily, multiple daily times that we see these things come. And you know, this virus, it's worldwide. Everywhere. Somebody said, Chris and I was listening this morning and someone was on there saying, we know God didn't do this. God would never send a plague. I thought, lady, it's your ignorance in the Word of God. And see, when I see visitations, same thing happened with 911. I noticed all of a sudden, separation church and state, all the congressmen and representatives made a show upon the steps of the Capitol, the same ones that will vote and keep separation from having prayer in school. The same ones that will vote that we can't have the Ten Commandments in our courthouse, even though the Ten Commandments are carved in the door and in the walls of the Supreme Court building. The same ones that rejects even a cross sitting upon a grave on public land. And then they say, there's no way God allowed those things to happen. Let me tell you something. When you get in the book, you'll find that God allows visitations many times upon the land. Did you know that lands and countries like America, they don't have a future as we would have a future with God. Therefore, God deals with their sin and the present time. And he sends visitations upon us. We also know, and I'm glad that I know, is that verse we read this morning, that we're able to know eternal life is to know the real God through Christ Jesus. And last but not least, let me say this. I'm glad that knowledge of the Bible lets me know that there is nothing that goes underneath the watchful eye of God. I don't have to enact vengeance. The book tells us, God said, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord." You say, "Preacher, I think that we ought to enact vengeance upon that." I say we leave it up to God. There's nothing done that God doesn't know. Somebody say, "Well, so-and-so, they got by with murder." No, they didn't. That's just a temporary thing. They might have deceived, paid their way out, found favor to get out of the court system and judicial system, but they didn't get away from the watchful eye of God. And so when I get in this book, I find that I don't have to fret about what somebody else has done. Whether we're saved, whether we're lost, if we're saved, we're going to one judgment. If we're lost, we're going to another judgment. But it is appointed man wants to die, and after that, the judgment. And whether we're saved, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, "For we shall all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, give account of those things done in this body, whether it be good or evil." So those of us who are saved, our works are going to follow us. And those who are lost, their works is going to follow them. You said, "Preacher, surely you don't think that there's a separation in hell of degrees of punishment?" Jesus told the people of Capernaum, says, "It will be more tolerable for the people of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than it will be for you, because of all the mighty works that he'd done in their presence." But listen, I can lay in bed at night and rest and not worry about if someone's done me wrong, because I know the watchful eye of God has seen it all. He knows when the truth, what's the truth, and what's not the truth. And my friend, he will sort it out in time. Now, why did I tell you all these? Because to have knowledge is to have peace. To have knowledge gives you meaning in life. To have knowledge keeps you from reacting in a way that would take away your joy and fruits of the Holy Spirit of God. And so this evening you may be here, and maybe you're not saved, and the Holy Spirit of God has dealt with you. This evening, some of you young people need to understand, it's not going to be very long. You're going to be sitting here married with children if Jesus holds back his coming. And you're going to be having effect upon that generation. What knowledge are you going to take into the next generation? What foundations are you going to build your home upon? And so tonight, maybe God's dealt with your heart. But even though we're God's people, doesn't mean that we always accept the knowledge. We reject knowledge. Sometimes we reject the means of it by getting in there and finding it. Sometimes we reject the instructions of it. But knowledge
will bring great peace and love in our heart for the Lord God. So tonight, let's pray, and then we'll sing a song of invitation. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your many blessings. We thank you for the Word of God. We thank you, Lord, to give us minds that is able to retain thoughts. And Heavenly Father, we're glad that the Holy Spirit of God has been given to us. Those of us who have been born again has been given to us to help teach us. And we have no need that any man teach us, but the Holy Spirit of God can reveal truths from the Word of God to our hearts and lives. We're so thankful for that. But dear Heavenly Father, we ask you to forgive us of where we reject. By getting in and studying, we seem to have time for everything else but the Word of God. And dear Heavenly Father, we also ask you to forgive us where we fail to follow the instructions of the Word of God, and help us, dear Heavenly Father, to get back on those paths. We ask these things in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen.